Today is Amazon Prime Day, a day when the web giant hopes to entice shoppers to look for discounts on their site and to sign up for Amazon Prime. But this year, workers at an Amazon fulfillment center in Shakopee, Minnesota, plan a six-hour work stoppage. It's the first U.S. strike by Amazon workers during a key sales day, and it could be a sign of more to come. Joining me now to talk about this strike and what it means for Amazon is Stephen Greenhouse. He was a labor and workplace reporter for the New York Times for 19 years, and his forthcoming book, Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor, is out in August. Thanks for being on the show, Stephen.
Great to be here.
So how significant, in your experience, is this work stoppage for Amazon employees?
I think symbolically it's very important, but in the grand scheme of things, since it's just at one warehouse in Minnesota and Amazon has more than 100 warehouses across the country, it's not a huge deal in throwing a wrench into the works. But the fact that there is a strike by Amazon workers, people are really talking about it a lot. It might encourage other strikes at other Amazon warehouses. So symbolically, it's important because it shows that workers are beginning to stand up against Amazon.
Fill us in on the details of the strike. I mean, do we know, we said it's just one warehouse, but how many workers are participating and what is it that they want?
So it's unclear how many workers will participate because it hasn't happened yet. I suspect it will be several hundred at this warehouse in Shakopee, Minnesota, about 25 miles outside the Twin Cities. There are a lot of East African, Somalian workers. There's a lot of solidarity among them. My guess is most of them will walk out. They're protesting the huge stressful pace of work at Amazon, and they also want Amazon to hire more permanent workers, fewer temp workers. One thing that really upsets Amazon workers, not just, you know, in Minnesota, but at warehouses in, you know, across the United States and Europe, is that the pace of work is tremendous, and a lot of workers feel they're pushed too hard to produce. Sometimes they have to gather at least 300 items an hour. And if you don't meet that quota at many Amazon facilities, they're pretty quick to fire you.
Now, we know that, I mean, Amazon, there's an Amazon warehouse here in Staten Island that recently had a press day or a media day where they were showing off the robots that help do the picking and the packing in that warehouse. Are these workers also concerned that they might be replaced?
Yes, they're very worried about being replaced. They're very worried that their jobs might become even more rote, more routine, more boring as robots do more and more of the work. And Amazon announced an impressive plan to retrain 100,000 workers. People are wondering what that will mean. Is Amazon just doing great PR? Because, it, you know, as we have more robots, more artificial intelligence, more automation, we will need more retraining. If Amazon does a great job on that, that will mean a lot and set a good example. But some people worry it's just Amazon, which is, you know, faces huge criticism, is announcing this as good public relations.
These kinds of strikes have happened before. I recall when I lived in Europe, it was pretty normal to see labor strikes in the past. Has the dynamic of Amazon warehouse workers in Europe been different than what we're seeing in here in the United States?
Well, you know, as your listeners know, unions are generally far stronger in Europe than in the United States, and they're more willing to go on strike. And in Germany, there's been several strikes at, you know, several warehouses a year as the workers are really pushing for higher pay. And Amazon is in ways refusing to bargain with them. And there have been strikes in the UK, there have been strikes in Spain, there have been strikes in Poland. You know, today, I'm told there will be seven strikes at seven Amazon warehouses in Germany, several in Spain, and, you know, a lot of it is over the stress and pace of the production quotas.
We have to take a quick break, but more in a moment with former New York Times labor and workplace reporter Stephen Greenhouse. And we're back, and I'm speaking with former New York Times workplace and labor reporter Stephen Greenhouse about Amazon's workforce. Stephen, for decades, broadening this out a little bit, and this is really something that, your newest book focuses on, is that we've heard organized labor and union participation in the U.S. was down. I'm feeling anecdotally that we're seeing more of it now, almost a resurgence. Is that right?
Well, both are right, Tanzina. You know, on one hand, the percentage of American workers in unions is way, way down over the decades. You know, back in the 1950s, more than one in three workers, 35%, were in labor unions. Now it's just below 11%, about one in 10 workers. And in the private sector, it's just one in 16 workers. So it's gone from like more than one in three in the private sector to around one in 16. So unions are weaker, and management has gotten much tougher in fighting against unions. Now, in the past year, we've seen this seeming resurgence of unions, especially led by the teacher strikes last year, where, again, in some of these red states where legislatures gave big tax breaks to business and to rich folks and squeezed budgets, especially education budgets, and they assumed that the teachers' unions are weak and weren't going to do anything. The teachers' unions really said, we're not going to take it anymore. We're tired of this. So we saw this big strikes, huge strikes in West Virginia, in Oklahoma, in Arizona, and they got huge national attention, and they've emboldened teachers in other states and emboldened, I think, other types of workers to not sit back anymore, to become more militant. So we saw a big hotel strike late last year against Marriott, 8,000 workers, and they made huge gains in getting better wages and benefits. Then there was the big strike in April, 31,000 Stop and Shop workers in New England, a huge strike. It got big public backing, surprisingly big public backing. They also made big gains. And now, encouraged by all these strikes, we might see a strike of 60,000 grocery workers in Southern California over the next few weeks, which would be one of the biggest strikes the nation has seen in many a year.
What has the Trump administration's position been towards this type of labor organizing?
Well, on one hand, you know, Donald Trump is kind of ignoring all this and steps to make things better for workers in terms of like increasing the minimum wage or making it easier to unionize or increasing job safety rules. But his appointees, especially in the Labor Department and the National Labor Relations Board, are fairly aggressively trying to make it harder for unionized workers and for workers to unionize. The Trump's NLRB has made it harder for labor organizers to go into private sector work sites to unionize, to try to unionize workers. His NLRB has made it harder for workers to unionize by issuing a ruling, a regulation, directive about joint employment, saying, you know, McDonald's can't be considered a joint employer with its franchisees. And that makes it harder to unionize the franchisees. And perhaps one of the most important things, Trump's NLRB has said that Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, app-based drivers are to be considered independent contractors and not considered regular employees. And once you're considered an independent contractor, you really can't unionize. And many unions are hoping that Uber drivers, Lyft drivers would be considered to be employees, and that would make it much easier for them to unionize.
Stephen, we're also seeing, and we might even be expecting a decision this week about raising the minimum wage to $15. We know that the fight for $15 has been going on for quite some time with mixed results. There's been reporting that says it could help 1.3 million workers, and yet another 1.3 million could lose their jobs. Where do you see the fight for $15 when it comes to congressional approval and also just generally speaking for workers across the board?
So one strong point I make in my book, Tanzina, is that, you know, the American public overwhelmingly supports things like a higher minimum wage. You know, we're the only industrial nation, one of just three or four nations in the world that doesn't have laws calling for paid maternity leave. We're, you know, the only industrial nation that doesn't have a law requiring paid sick days. The only industrial nation that doesn't have a law requiring paid vacation. Yet trying to get any of this through Congress is very hard because Republicans seem to be dead set against anything that business lobbyists will call an employer mandate.
Stephen Greenhouse is a former labor reporter for the New York Times and author of the forthcoming book, Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor. Stephen, thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.